Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Bill Brandt is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. President of Development Specialists, Inc., DSI.biz is his website. And as I've told you many times before, he's a longtime 13-year member of our Brain Trust, a global problem solver. People are reaching out to him, seeking his advice and wisdom on many levels, from economics to politics and to just general problem solving. And we're so fortunate to have him as part of our world. Bill, thanks again for being here. There's an interesting thing going on right now that you're observing, you're reporting on, you've done some thinking about, with regard to the anti-establishment attitude. It's in the United States. Trump, Fiorina, and Carson, our non-politicians, are just racing to the top of the polls. But it's not just an American phenomenon, is it?
It isn't. I mean, when you rattled off those names, it sounded like a wonderful law firm, you know, Trump, Fiorina, and Carson. We were speaking during the break and alluding to what we talked about before. I was overseas just a week or so ago in the UK and on the Channel Islands doing some financial work. And I noticed I was there at the time of the election for their new Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn, who rose from obscurity as the anti-establishment candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what you're seeing is, just like we were discussing with the interest rate issue being a global issue, this is a global phenomenon. There are a variety of politicians on the continent, some who've been around a while, like Marie Le Pen in France, but the anti-establishment candidates are coming from the back of the pack and rising to the forefront, and people, like in the States, are saying, well, this is all because Donald Trump is a celebrity. That might be a bit of it, but I think more is that the electorate at this point is pretty fed up with politics as usual. Doesn't see a solution in Europe to the European migrant crisis, doesn't see a solution in the States to the moribund economy, and they pretty much had it with the pat answers. You're seeing it across the board.
Well, and I don't know where your Labour leader is on the EU question, but that's a big deal they've got coming up in next year or is it a couple of years within the
England? No, next year. That is an interesting issue. He has been an anti-EU
whether England should stay in the EU.
Right. He has been an anti-European Union, Jeremy Corbyn, a person has for years. He recognizes that coming out and you know, as his first pronouncement after being elected as basically the opposition leader, wouldn't be the best thing. And so he's making a few stumbles, but there's a real prospect the English could vote to leave the European Union.
Do you think? Of course, they're not on the currency; they're just in the governmental organization.
They are not on the currency union. I remind people who seem to be astonished whenever I do that there are others who are not, like Denmark.
Denmark isn't exactly.
And with strong economy.
Sweden isn't, is it?
Sweden is not a full member of the EU. They're kind of in the middle of an affiliate member. I think they're going to wind up, joining eventually, as they are, surprisingly.
So do you think that this anti-establishment sentiment will sweep somebody all the way into office, or do you think it's the kind of thing that 16 months or 14 months in ahead of the election, it's just kind of a reaction and a way of sticking, you know, maybe shooting a fire a shot across the bow of the professionals? What do you think here in the United States?
I have a twofold response to it, Jim. One, it's real, but anger can only, you know, exist. It tends to subside.
Mm-hmm.
And two, we have pretty smart politicians on both sides of the aisle in the United States. And I think this sort of pie in the face of anti-establishment has been seen by them. And they're gonna recalculate, recalibrate. And over the next few months, I suspect you'll see a number of them adopting some of these positions, or at least adopting in a feigned way the outrage and trying to co-opt it. And that's what good politicians do. So I would predict for you that by the middle of next year, perhaps by June or so, well before the presidential election, a lot of the anti-establishment anger won't have faded, but the candidates associated with it will have been co-opted by more regular and routine and probably more practiced politicians.
Well, on the GOP side, it'll have to be that way because as some of the non-establishment candidates get out, and obviously some of one at least one or two will have to by math reasons, their followers are going to be, in order to get their endorsement, they're going to have to make some changes. The nominee, I should say.
One of the things that I think people have to stop and think about is that if Ben Carson gets out, for example, he plays strongly to an evangelical base.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Ben Carson's supporters, to a person, will then flock to it, you know, to Fiorina or
no.
Trump. He'll lose some to others who have spoken, you know.
I agree with that.
And I think that's where the dilution begins to happen. But I do think that it's possible that Trump and Fiorina at least can be around well into next year and at the center of this.
Well, isn't though at this point in time in 2016, isn't the person elected is going to be the one with the best machine? I mean, isn't that what we've come to in presidential politics?
It's about
the machinery. Is that too cynical?
No, I grew up in Chicago. Machine is a holy word for me. You know, I mean, machine has a...
You worship at the throne of the machine, don't you?
You know, you're right. There are two elections in this country I like to tell people all the time. The first election is about garnering money. That is, you sit in living rooms and you get people to open your checkbook. Mm-hmm. And Hillary has done that.
Yep.
And Jeb Bush has done that to a great degree. And
mm-hmm.
with that funds, you then engage an army of people on the ground to make sure that petitions are signed and you're on the ballot. There's a lot of blocking and tackling that has to go on.
And the machine, never underestimate, folks, the power of the machine. Remember, getting elected president is a four-quarter game. And you got to play the fourth quarter. Like a team who beats the number one team for three quarters, you got to do it in the fourth quarter, too. And that's going to be the key. When we come back, Bill is, and I will talk about the Clintons.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.